Well, after starting a new diet, I altered my drive to work to avoid passing by my favorite bakery. And I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning, and as I approached, there in the window were a host of goodies. And I felt this was no accident, so I prayed, "Lord, it's up to you. If you want me to have those delicious goodies, create a parking spot for me directly in front of the bakery." And sure enough, on the eighth time around, there it was. God is so good. Well, this week God started to give me direction through the message title. And the title today is Preference or Purpose? So as usual, that leaves us with a question. Which one is driving you? Preference or purpose? Now, I know that 2 weeks ago, God gave me a very strong message, and I believe that today is no different. If you weren't here to hear that message, I strongly encourage you to visit our website, coshocton baptist church.org. If you pull that website up, you click on resources. Under resources is an archive of all the past messages. So if you miss a message, get on there, listen to it, because I believe that as God leads, these messages are beginning to build on one another. And if you miss one, it kind of leaves the next one not making as much sense. So utilize that website. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about leadership. And we talked about how some of you still might be questioning my ability to lead this group. And I ask you the question, if I lead, will you follow? Will you follow even if the method is different than what you're used to? If it's different than what you personally want? We also talked about how God has never changed the charge for this body of believers. He has called this group to come together in unity and reestablish Coshocton Baptist Church as a Great Commission church. When I came here as a potential pastor, I made it clear that I wasn't coming with sweeping change. You know, change takes time, and all of you have to trust me before you'll buy into that leadership of change. But there was a lot of talk about change at the time. And this morning I want to ask, do you really want to hear the change that God has pressed on my heart to lead here? The change that I've been trying to get you to see from this spot. It's a change in attitude. It's a heart change, a true heart change. And this morning, I want you to feel the power of God as He moves through this building and says, "What are you motivated by? Is it preference and tradition, or is it purpose?" See, my purpose is for you to use what I have given you to bring the message of my Son to this world. That's what God's saying to us this morning. To begin to teach this world His Word and to help them develop a relationship so that they can become rooted and continue the work that we're doing. You know, I'm not here to continue to breed a culture of preference and tradition. That's legalism at its finest. And God says, root it out. Then we'll move on to purpose. And I need you to see here that what we're doing is not about me, and it's not about any of you. It's about getting our relationship right with God and being obedient to His call on our life. And if we can grab onto this one concept, then I believe God will begin to use us to make huge changes, to make a huge impact in this community and the surrounding area. But we're never going to be successful if we stand on preference and tradition. And by tradition, I mean we continue to do things the same way simply because that's the way we've always done it. This morning, I want to look at a verse of Scripture so that we can see where the path of tradition will eventually lead. And this is what Jesus had to say to the Pharisees, those who let tradition and preference take over. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. And I'm going to move through some scriptures this morning kind of quick. So if you're one of those folks that want to go back and read them, write them down so that you have the opportunity to do that. But Matthew 23, verse 13 says this: "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Now to me it seems pretty ironic that those that should be pointing people to God, pointing them to the proper relationship, are actually closing the door. They're not in the kingdom themselves because of their wrong attitude and actions. And therefore, others follow their teaching looking for the truth, but instead are led down the wrong path. And Luke 11:52 says this: "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered." You know, it's bad enough that they were keeping themselves out of the kingdom, but so much worse to be standing in the way of others. And by teaching these man-made traditions instead of God's truth, they took away the key of knowledge and closed the door to salvation for others. We have to be careful where our heart is. We're pointing people to something, but the question is what? We can never, ever change our message. God's word is true and correct and unchanging. But our methods need to consistently evolve. They need to evolve to meet people where they are. You know, we have to be relevant to the unsaved. We have to know their concerns and address them with Scripture, with God's word. So maybe today the question is this: what's our next step as a church and as individuals? How do we get there? And this morning I want to give you two things that are going to serve as a base for all that we do. The first is unity, and that's a unity of purpose. And the second is prayer. And these two things kind of go hand in hand. You know, most of the time disagreements in the church come as a result of direction. All of us have a tendency to think that our way is the best way, right? It's true. We all do it. How many of you saw the tag in the youth room? Some of you probably don't even know what a tag means, but some would call it graffiti. You know, the stuff that you see painted on the side of trains or abandoned buildings, and it's usually associated with gangs. Well, there's a wall in the youth room that has a tag that says CBC Youth. And I happen to think that it looks totally awesome, but some of you might not. But here's the thing. All of us have to trust our youth leaders when it comes to method, because they're the ones that are shoulder deep in youth ministry. We're not. I've had the opportunity to teach the youth class on Sunday night several times here recently. And God has pointed out to me that I don't have the same connection with that group that their leaders do, because I don't do it full time. They know the kids. I don't, at least not well. But this allows them to be relevant to that group. You know, my son politely told me the last time I taught the youth group that I talk too much. Me, all of you know me, and he told me I talk too much. Can you believe this? My point is, we have to trust the method of the leaders that we put in place, because they're following God and they're being effective. And I know for a fact that the message has never changed. It's based on God's word. So if their method is different than mine, then I say great, because they know how to be relevant to that group. My point is, we have a unity in our purpose. And our goal is to tell and teach and make disciples, right? That's our goal. And we all have gifts and talents that fit into that purpose. So if we have that unity in purpose and our direction is the same, then the method would be the only thing that we could question. But here's where the second thing comes into play, and that's prayer. When we saturate all of our ministries with prayer, and we begin to see God working, we can have confidence that we're doing the right thing, and that our method is where it needs to be. Providing it doesn't violate Scripture, obviously, our method becomes less and less of a division. When we keep our eyes on God and on His purpose, and we saturate all of our ministries with prayer, it's difficult to go wrong. Now, when I say saturate with prayer, I'm not talking about each individual leader praying for their group and maybe praying for the lost that they might encounter along the way. I'm talking about every single one of us having a unity of purpose and being in prayer for every ministry throughout this church. Every single one of us. We all need to be praying for God's direction. We all need to ask for that direction. And we all need to experience that unity of purpose that we have. We need to embrace it. But not only to see it, but to act on it, to be driven to act on that unity. John 17, verses 20 through 23 says this. And Jesus, he prays for all believers in this, and he's talking about the disciples initially when he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you loved me. As a body, we're all one in Christ. We have unity in our purpose through Him. We need to understand that we have a mission to accomplish. Let me tell you this, if you didn't know already. We have work to do for God. Coshocton County is full of people who don't know Christ. And we've been tasked with taking the message of His Son to those people and giving them an opportunity to come to know Him. I don't know about any of you, but I have no idea when I'm going to die. I have no idea when I'll take my last breath. And the reality is, I have no idea when Christ is going to come back and take this church out of here. I don't know. But I do know that it's highly possible that either one of them could happen at any time. Our time is short. And I want to do my best at living a life that glorifies God. That means every minute that I have is important. And everything I do, I want to do in a way that glorifies Him. What about you? God's given us a mission to reach and to teach and to make disciples. And I believe that as we're obedient to Him, that He's going to bless that effort. John chapter 15, verses 7 through 11 says this: If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be made full. You see, when we're not obedient, we miss out not only on the blessing of church growth, but we don't experience that personal growth and that joy either. As a result, we walk around as Christians feeling empty. I also need you to see this morning that as a church, we've got a structure for growth. We have to get ready to be able to handle the influx of people that we're going to see as a result of our obedience to Him. We have to structure for growth. We have to lose that attitude of, I'm tired of doing this, or I'm sick of doing that. God has given us, or is in the process of giving us, everything we need to accomplish His goals. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7 says this: There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. We need everyone to begin to use those spiritual gifts and to begin to use their talents to develop a strong structure for teaching and making disciples here at Coshocton Baptist Church. Now, I'm not just talking about adults. You know, we have a pretty good structure for adults, but it has to be all the way through. We also have to understand and love the people that we're trying to reach. So often we develop this us versus them mentality. We see people doing things that we know are wrong, and we begin to develop a genuine disgust for people. When you have a dislike for someone, you tend to do one of two things. You either avoid them or you confront them. And if you avoid them, you continue in that dislike and nothing is accomplished. But if you confront, oftentimes you find yourself in an argument and dividing lines are further drawn. Is that how Christ did it? Romans 5:8 says, But God demonstrates His own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I know that love can have different faces. And then we have to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading on how we deal with people. I understand that. But what I'm really talking about is praying for folks who are lost. Praying for God to change our attitude toward people that don't know Christ. Asking God to develop in your heart a want to reach people that don't know Him. So that when we see sinful behavior in people, it doesn't drive us away. It breaks our heart. And it drives us closer. And it drives us to that point where we can't help but say, I want to help these people. The fact of the matter is this. God has called us to love messy people. People that don't have it all together. That's what we're here for. And in the process, we need to be authentic and transparent. 2 Corinthians 6:11 through 13, Paul said this to the Corinthians. He said, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak to you as children. You also be open. We have to make sure that we're not projecting a false image to people. When people see this body of believers, they should see a normal group of people from all walks of life. And we need to project to them exactly what we are, a group of people that are saved by the grace of God. They should see a group that's coming together, loving each other, and one day at a time, getting a little bit closer to Christ and developing that relationship. We need to be a close-knit family who is continually developing that relationship while loving and reaching out to others. What people see from us should offer hope. We're not a stuffy social club where you have to meet certain criteria to be a part. We have to commit to continual change. 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23, Paul says this, For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I have become a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without law. Not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. That I might win those who are without law. To the weak I have become as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. If we're going to reach this community and the surrounding area for Christ, we have to be ready for continual change. The gospel message will never change, but the world is continually changing. And we have to be relevant to the people that we're trying to reach. And that means our method has to be relevant, or no one's going to listen. We have to meet people where they are, and not where we are, or where we think they ought to be. What we do here is not about preference as an individual. It's about God's purpose. Don't ever lose sight of that. We have to stay relevant to those that we're trying to reach. It's not about us. Will you all stand with me this morning? As you stand, as always, I ask that you just bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute and listen. You know, I said it earlier, and I'll say it again now. We will never be successful if we stand on preference and tradition. Our method needs to consistently evolve to meet people where they are. We have to be relevant. And sometimes that makes people uncomfortable, that consistent change. But we have to get past us to reach others. We have to do what's effective. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says this, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others." You know, maybe you're here this morning and none of this really makes any sense to you. And you realize that you don't know Christ. If that's the case this morning, I want you to see that He loves you and He died for you. And the Bible says that every single one of us have sinned, and that sin separates us from God. And the penalty for sin is death. But Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. But He didn't stop there. 3 days later, He rose from the grave, having conquered death. And the Bible says that if you believe that with all of your heart and confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. Saved from hell and eternal separation from God. I want you to know that you can leave here this morning and know without question that you're heaven bound. In just a minute, this altar is going to be open. It'll be open to you for prayer. And maybe today, you know you want to serve somewhere in this church, but you don't know where you fit in. Come talk with me and we'll pray about it. We'll get together and figure it out. Maybe you're not a member and you want to be. Come on up and talk with me about that and we'll pray about it. And we'll get together and talk about what it means to be a member. Maybe God has called you to change something in your life. Maybe you just have a praise that you want to bring to God. Whatever your reason, this altar will be open to you. And most importantly, if you have never decided to let Christ lead your life, don't wait another day. Father, we come to you. We recognize that our life is not about us. And it's not about our personal preference, Lord. It's about serving you. It's about using our talents and our gifts, the ones that you have given us, to bring people to a relationship with you. Help us to be a church that is in submission to your leadership. Father, we ask that you would work in hearts this morning, that your will would be done. Father, we ask that whatever changes need to be made, that you would inspire those changes, Lord. We ask for your direction, that you would take each person in this church and put them exactly where you want them to be. And we ask that you would fill each person here with a love for serving you where you place them. We ask that you would allow Coshocton Baptist Church, your people, to begin to reach this community like never before. We thank you because we know that this is your will for us. And we thank you for who you are and for what you're about to do here, Lord. Father, this morning, this time of invitation is yours to use as you see fit. It's in Jesus' name we come to you. Amen. Again, this altar is open to you if you have business with God.